Well, that's me, Jake. Smooth.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ray, and welcome to the RayWenderlich.com podcast. In this podcast, we'll keep you up to date with the latest app development tech talk. Now, here are your hosts, Mick and Jake.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Mick Pringle, and welcome back to the official RayWenderlich.com podcast. I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host Jake Gunderson, and today we're going to be discussing Realm with JP Simard, who is an iOS developer at Realm. Hey, JP, hello. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, not so bad. You?
Pretty well.
Now, before we get into things, if you could tell us a little bit about who you are and how you first got into iOS development.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's always fun when I hear people that I follow on other podcasts that go through that, their early humble beginnings. So I got started in Ottawa in Canada, and I had this great idea for an app, as everyone kind of does. And then, didn't have any experience. So I started kind of working on it and then getting contract work and then growing the team for the contract work. You know, 3 years later, we're a contract agency and the product never saw the light of day. And so, been running that or did run that for about 3 years. And then when I started talking with Realm earlier this year around April, was really excited about what they were doing. And they had been working on this really cool technology for a few years even. And now they were just gearing up for the Cocoa launch. And so I joined them at that time.
Fantastic. Now, I believe it was July when Realm was first announced. And it came That's a right. little bit out of left field. I'm not sure people were, conscious that there was so much effort going on in the mobile database space. Obviously, there's been a lot of developments in server-side database technology over the last 12 to 18 months, but not so much in the mobile. And obviously, since that announcement, there's been a lot of buzz and excitement about Realm because of that, including just this week, RayWenderlich.com publishing its first Realm tutorial. But for those guys that are listening and either haven't heard of Realm or who haven't had a chance to play with it yet firsthand, I think you could walk us through exactly what Realm is and why it's of particular interest to mobile developers?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely always fun to kind of show people kind of this whole new thing. So Realm is actually a brand new database. It's not built on top of SQLite like a lot of things that we see in the embedded market now. And we have some pretty good reasons, we think, anyway, for kind of starting from scratch, fresh, with a fresh slate. But it's designed to run inside phone, tablets, wearables, what have you. And like you said, there's been a lot of development on server-side backends databases, but we have yet to see a lot of this innovation brought to smartphones. And so that's one of the motivations for really bringing some of these modern concepts back into the database world for mobile. So we aim to provide a modern, easy to learn, easy to use, and really fast alternative to SQLite and Core Data, specifically on iOS.
Fantastic. And you sort of touched on it there, and I think it's clear that Realm is almost going head-to-head with Core Data. So on the last episode, we spent some time talking about Core Data and, all the advantages that brings and sort of general use cases and whatnot. And, I think everybody who's listening is going to be keen to understand what the advantages Realm has over Core Data.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually come from a background mostly building apps with Core Data as well. And I've used alternatives like SQLite directly. And so ultimately, what I think it boils down to is that Realm is kind of a better design moving forward. And I say that because of the way that people tend to build apps today, where a lot of people tend to use ORMs. And ultimately, relational databases where you can't really represent relationships with objects directly, you have to have joins under the hood. We're never really designed to represent this complex object graph that most people tend to want when they're building, let's say, iOS apps or Android apps or anything in the embedded world. So really at this point, even though we have a long way to go on maturity and stability, we think that it's a design that's a little bit more future-proof and that will allow a lot more innovation in the years to come. And so it's really kind of looking at how people build apps and building a database for that rather than trying to fit an existing tool with the way that people actually want to do things.
I have a question. I've heard that Realm is faster than Core Data, quite a bit faster. Can you speak a little bit to that and more specifically from a practical point of view, when people, as they use it, would notice it being faster.
Right. And so there's quite a few operations, actually pretty much across the board, for core data. Realm is usually several orders of magnitude faster. And the reason behind that is really, it really boils down to the core database engine. Like I said, really being able to represent things the way that users actually see it. Now, with ORMs or with object relational mappings or object graph frameworks like core data, they really show you this really powerful way to, you know, deal with your objects. But ultimately, it has a certain level of indirection where, for example, we have relationships, you know, one-to-many, many-to-many, one-to-one even. And ultimately, that's not how these relationships are stored under the hood. It ends up being represented typically with, you know, a single table for each type of relationship. And so over time, what people tend to realize over the maintainability lifecycle of their app is that initially things look fine, but then ultimately as they start adding more and more relationships to their models, or they start to have more and more migrations, things aren't so linear and they start to grow in terms of performance hit in an exponential way. And that's really because of this indirection. And so by keeping things as close to how users are actually dealing with objects these days, we can actually avoid a lot of this indirection, which gives better performance, simpler programming models, and gives fewer opportunities for bugs because things are as they seem, so to speak. So that's, you know, overall, that's really kind of the overall approach. And then you have other very specific things like ARM vectorization, you have memory mapping, you have things like lazily loaded accessors and queries that tend to be more specific, but those are all things that have major advantages over, let's say, having to load a lot of objects in memory just to, let's say, do a sort.
So what under the hood, we talked about how SQLite is usually the engine people are using when they're using core data. What is under the covers in Realm?
It's turtles all the way down. It's really Realm is powered by Realm. Whereas today we have two components for either the Android component or the iOS component. And sorry, by iOS I mean Cocoa, so we support OS X as well. So those are the binding level, which is really, you know, on the Cocoa side, what we do there is that we leverage the, you know, things like runtime introspection, but ultimately, other than kind of those high level features, it's really pretty much a one-to-one mapping with the core C++ cross-platform database engine that's also, you know, called Realm. You know, lots of things are called Realm, I guess, at this point. But we have Realm Cocoa, and then we have Realm Core at the heart of things. And so that's kind of the cross-platform aspect.
So just to kind of restate, the main advantages of Realm are cross-platform performance, and the design of both the API and the data structure is better mirrors the actual way that we're using, as programmers, we're using our objects. Is that a decent summary?
Yeah, I think that's a great summary.
So what are some of the limitations of Realm? What are some of the ways where maybe core data or some other technology would be superior?
Right. And there's actually a few things there that we're really still working on. For example, really, over the last 3 years, our emphasis has been to build a really solid foundation, the core database engine. And so we only recently started in the last 6 months, I'd say, to really start putting more emphasis on the higher level features. And so there's still lots of features that we're working on. And it's typically for those missing features that I'd still recommend a few, for example, alternatives like core data or even raw SQLite over Realm. Like, for example, if you need multi-process access, you know, that's something that that Realm doesn't allow right now. So even though we have a strong multi-threading paradigm, we think multi-process is still something that we're working on. So for example, as a use case, if you have an iOS app and then you also have an iOS 8 extension, like, for example, a Today extension or a keyboard extension, and they both need to talk to the same database at once, that's still something that we're working on. And so in that case, you'd be better suited by working with something directly with SQLite or with core data. And there's a few other features as well, notably some long-term features like sync. that I think will really make Realm shine, because it was designed with sync in mind from day one, not just on the ORM level, but at the core database engine level. But at the time being, that's not a feature that we support. So people have to go to core data sync, iCloud sync, or things like Couchbase Lite. And those are really the options that are out there.
So, I mean, if we take some of these limitations, if you like, that people are sort of, if they were assessing the different sort of object graph and persistent frameworks out there, that, you know, sync would probably rate pretty highly, given, you know, everyone expects all their data to be available on all their devices any given time. Are you sort of thinking maybe like medium to long term that you would provide some sort of migration tools for developers who have had to go down the core, say the core data route because of sync, and therefore are now sort of, you know, they're stuck within that environment, to then help them get out of that environment and into a Realm environment?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, being a development tool itself, you know, Realm as a database, we really decided to put a lot of emphasis on additional tools that can really help working with Realm. You know, things like a data browser, for example. And so specifically for sync, or for porting over, let's say, your data set from other frameworks to Realm, those are use cases that we've really thought about. And so right now we've got a few examples. For example, in the in our main repo at github.com/realm/realm-coco, and in there you can see examples for, let's say, converting a CSV file or a JSON file or even SQLite files to Realm. And so core data is still one of those things that we're working on a converter. And ultimately, there's always cases where you're not necessarily going to have, it's not going to be possible to have a fully automatic conversion, but working on tools that help with that process is certainly something that's pretty close to our hearts.
So I have a quick question. One thing I've noticed in the past is that it's when you work with Apple Technologies, they obviously design the entire stack. And so you've got core data, but then you've also got things like NS Fetch Results Controller, which helps you kind of make the data in core data talk to a UI table view, make it smooth scrolling, and, you know, work easily with, you know, your predicate or your filtering with that controller. Is that something you guys care about? Do you have an answer to that? Or, like, what's your perspective on some of these things that are built on top that, you know, if we decide I'm going to go with Realm instead of core data, I'm going to maybe forego some of these other benefits that aren't necessarily core to the storage engine?
Right. Yeah. And that's really where the ORM, you know, the Coco binding comes in, is really to make it Coco-like and to make it play well with things like UI collection views and UI table views. And so we have a number of examples, again, in our main repo, where you can see working with table views and even grouping certain table views. It's things like performing migrations. It's things like interacting, you know, backing UI views directly with, let's say, RLM objects, which is the core object representation type in Realm Coco. So those are very important to us, and we've got some interesting things in the works there that I really look forward to us releasing to really ease that development process. And so that's something that we're really heavily working on.
Now, you sort of touched on it there, because one of the other things I wanted to pick your brain about was migrations. Because, I mean, that's always a pain point for anybody working with core data. But I think one of the things that core data might have as an advantage over Realm, from what I've seen in the way that you handle migrations, is that it's very strict and structured, in that you have to make a second model, you know, you create your mappings. So it's all very visual and obvious about what's going to happen. And then you can ask core data to either do it automatically, or you can go down sort of a bit finer grain control and handle things at almost attribute level. So I was just wondering if you could walk us through, like, how, you know, you guys at Realm have approached migration and how the tool itself approaches migration.
Yeah, absolutely. Core data does certain things really well when it comes to migrations, and you touched on some of them. But there are other aspects that really tend to bite people, especially when migrations aren't necessarily at the forefront of their mindset when they're first developing their app. And then, let's say, they try to push an update and they forget to, let's say, duplicate their model and then create a new version and then set the correct version and then make sure that either they have an auto updating core data stack or that they have those manual migrations like you mentioned. And so we tried to look at the overall landscape of solutions that are out there. For example, really looking at core data, the strengths, weaknesses, looking at how things like FC model and YAP database do their migrations as well. And we tried to kind of turn the weaknesses of one into strengths of the other, or that was the goal anyway. And so you're absolutely right that you don't have to duplicate your schemas or your models when you're doing migrations in Realm. And one of the reasons behind that is that that ended up being a major pain point to the developers that we had spoken to and to ourselves as well, working through core data migrations. And ultimately, the database has all of the schema information that you would ever need. And so to put that effort on the user and to essentially have another vector for potential bugs is something that was very counterintuitive to us. So the way that you define your models in Realm, I think we have to start there, is through traditional Objective-C style classes. So instead of subclassing NS object and creating your properties like NS strings and NS dates on that, if let's say you were modeling something strictly in memory, with Realm, you do the same thing, but you subclass RLM object. And that's all you need to do to define your schema and your models. And so once an app runs once with any given version of that schema, then it has that information in there. And so the approach that we wanted to take with migrations was to do things as automatically as possible. So anytime you either add a class or remove a class or you add a property on a class or you remove a property on a class, all of these migrations are handled automatically. However, when you want to do things like, for example, combining a first name and last name string property into a single full name property through a migration, then we expose a more dynamic interface that doesn't require you to keep all the prior versions of your model. So it's almost like a dictionary style approach where you can say, well, old object, first name, concatenate that with old object, last name, and assign that to new object, full name. And that's how, in a nutshell, we deal with migrations. So to summarize, it's really trying to take the dynamic aspects of things like FC model and YAP database while still keeping the automatic capabilities of core data. And there are still some caveats when it comes to this. There's still, for example, if let's say you have dozens of different versions of your schema and you want to optimize going from version 1 to version 12 without doing linear migrations throughout, well, you can. It's basically just a control flow at that point where you're just saying, well, if old version number is this and new version number is that, you can write your own kind of optimized migrations there. So there's quite a bit of flexibility. And all of this, we try anyway to document it as well as possible on the website. So if you're interested, we have some examples and we have some documentation there.
So is there a way in Realm or with any of the sort of tools that you provide to sort of dump the schema out? Because one of the advantages I found personally with core data and having the sort of the visual aspect of the schema and the schema designer was it makes it much easier to learn a new code base, because I can open this one file and I can understand all the models, all the relationships between those models. And by sort of abstracting a lot of that stuff away and handling it automatically, obviously has its advantages. But does come with some disadvantages as well.
Yeah, you have a great point. And there are terrific advantages to having, let's say, a visual-based schema editor or even just a visual schema viewer so that you can kind of quickly grok all the relationships, much like the advantages that storyboards tend to bring. It's like at a glance, you can see the interaction model. But like you mentioned, those also come with caveats. I was actually speaking with the creator of the graphical schema editor of Core Data just over last weekend. And we were talking about the pros and the cons. And ultimately, we decided to have a code-first approach with Realm, mostly to avoid the disconnect between the visual schema editor and the class representation that you inevitably need to work with your objects within your app. And so we really went the approach of almost defining your objects as if they were just traditional in-memory objects. But you're right that we are lacking when it comes to schema visualization. And so those are tools that we've worked with, and we've toyed with the idea of this over time. We have yet to release anything, but we're certainly aware of the advantages that brings. It's just not something that we offer right now.
So let's switch directions a little bit. Can you have more than one realm database in a given app? And if you can have multiple, can they talk to each other? Can there be relationships between multiple separate realm databases?
Yeah, so it's definitely possible to have multiple realms, and we have lots of users who are in the App Store with this approach, where let's say you'd have your app would come pre-bundled with, let's say, a catalog of items, let's say, that every user would want. But then you would have a realm, let's say, in your documents folder in an iOS app, for example, where you'd store user-specific information. So it's something that we certainly support, and you can have as many realms as you want. And ultimately, you don't really incur any sort of performance hit when you do this. But when it comes to having relationships between different realms, we're really in the same boat as Core Data and SQLite at that point, where if you want to have relationships, you kind of have to manage that yourself, where you'd need, for example, key mappings, where you'd have a foreign key in one and then the primary keys in another, and you'd have to manage those relationships yourself. And we have some designs in the works for cross-realm relationships, but at this point, it's too early to announce anything. And ultimately, the overwhelming majority use case is that people tend to really use a single realm or a single database file, whether that be Core Data or SQLite. And so we're really optimizing for that, even though it's certainly possible to have interactions between multiple realms.
Okay, I mean, you've shared quite a lot of things that are sort of in the works, if you like, and you've mentioned like you did then. You know, it's too early to announce. Is there anything sort of on your roadmap that you can almost give us a RayWenderlich.com exclusive? You know, that we can expect in the next few weeks.
That's always fun. There's something that I've been working on quite a bit, and other members of the team as well. I'd like to say I'm certainly not the only one working on this. We have a team of 16 people, about 8 or so based in Copenhagen, mostly working on the C++ core, and then there's another 8 of us here in San Francisco, and specifically the COCO team. There are 3 of us, and so a lot of the design really comes is really thanks to the whole team working together. And so something that I've been working a lot on is the Swift interface. And so because we use so much of the dynamic aspects of Objective-C, for example, runtime introspection and things like overriding setters and getters, and we do this for performance and also ease of use reasons, those pose certain challenges when we're thinking of a Swift interface. And it's not just as simple as just kind of unwrapping our implicitly unwrapped optionals like Apple's been doing for its frameworks. It's really kind of rethinking a whole different way, because Swift doesn't necessarily have all the dynamic capabilities of Objective-C, or so we thought. But we actually found out a lot of interesting ways, and surprisingly very safe and future-proof ways, to really combine Swift's compile time safety and generics and a lot of the compiler heavy stuff, along with the really powerful runtime dynamic aspects. And so I'm really looking forward to us launching our really Swift interface, which will come in the coming weeks. So we actually had to come up with a whole new documentation tool, and we've open sourced that as well. Jazzy, if you get a chance to take a look. And so that's something that I'm very excited to launch in the near future. So that'll come in the following weeks.
So just to clarify, can you use Swift in the current release version of Realm? Or?
Yeah, thanks for asking to clarify that. You can certainly use Realm with Swift, and we have people who've shipped apps to the App Store already with this. But ultimately, the interface right now is mostly just a Swift capable interface on top of our Objective-C one. We have a new interface that's coming out in the coming weeks that's really built from the ground up for Swift. So that'll feature things like Swift's features, things like generics, type safety, closure-oriented APIs, compile time, code analysis, and a lot more. And so it'll make working with objects in Swift almost feel first class, which is something that's really important to us.
Fantastic. So like, if I was to give you sort of a couple of minutes, if you like, just sort of to wrap up this conversation, to sell Realm to our listeners, and to definitely give it sort of consideration the next time they're going to be choosing, you know, a object graph and persistence framework, you know, what would you say to them?
That's a great question. Ultimately, it comes down to whether or not you're fully happy with the solutions that are out there. If you've ever found yourself saying, ah, there must be a better way to do this. I'm not exactly saying that that Realm is the tool for every app out there at this point, but it's certainly what we're building it for. And one thing that's been extremely important to us is to not be kind of this black box, which is, hey, we give you this framework and that's what you have to deal with. And until next year, when you see us at a conference where we'll announce a new version, that'll be it. So we've really been working closely with our users, making sure that we're building this as the tool that is really the best way to deal with objects for all apps, whether it's a game, whether it's an app, whether you use a backend or not, whether you need persistence or not, because you can use Realm in memory. So I'd encourage you to at least give it a shot, especially if you have a side project and you want to see whether or not the mental model works well for the way that you think and the way that you build apps. I'd really encourage you to check it out.
Fantastic. And actually, there was one more thing that I wanted to mention, and it kind of segues in nicely to what you mentioned there about working with the developer community, is I believe certain parts of Realm are open source. So, you know, is that one way that you're working with the developer? You know, that are you actively seeking contributions and pull requests and things like that?
Yeah, we certainly are. So to clarify, the Cocoa binding of Realm and the Android binding for that matter are entirely open source, and ultimately the C++ core right now is currently closed source, and that's something that we're really working to open source at this point, and it will launch as Apache 2 in the future at some point. And it's really a question of cleaning it up, making sure that the documentation is ready for the outside world. And so we really aim to have a fully open source embedded database solution, which certainly helps when you're trying to debug something as a user of this database and you're wondering, well, why is this behaving this way? Well, you can actually dive down, look at the source, post a question on Stack Overflow, and we can point to how the code works and why we made those design decisions. And so there's a reason why we want to launch Realm in beta, is because we want to rapidly iterate on how the tool works and make sure that we're building really the tool that users need and want. And so I think it took all of like 3 days to get our first pull request. And since then we've received a lot more, you know, I think at least 100. And so it's something that's really important to us, is really kind of working with the community to build something that we can all use and enjoy.
Fantastic. I mean, it is great, and it's definitely an attractive quality in Realm, I think, that you are opening it up, because I think that's obviously one of the disadvantages when using something like Core Data, is when, you know, something isn't working as you would expect, you've absolutely no way to figure out if it's a framework issue, if it's, you know, if it's not something that's obvious within your code. So, you know, it's great to see that companies tackling such a topic, you know, are willing to work with the developer community in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to us, and that's why, you know, we monitor Stack Overflow, Twitter, GitHub issues, the mailing list, and typically it will answer any time between an hour after something's posted to 5 days or a week, sometimes at most, if it's, you know, very complex or something that we really need to troubleshoot and debug. But ultimately, it's been very important to us to make sure that no one's kind of left in the dark. And so it's something that's very important to us.
Fantastic. And I think that's a good place to leave it there and to wrap things up. So thanks again for joining us, JP. It's been great.
Thank you very much for having me, and thanks for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Fantastic. And guys, that's it for another episode. As always, if you have any questions or feedback, then please don't hesitate to get in touch via podcast@raywenderlich.com. And if you have enjoyed this episode or any of the previous ones, then make sure to leave a review on iTunes. So we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next time.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to the RayWenderlich.com podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and don't forget to leave a rating on iTunes. See you next time.